Yo, 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 this is Cam.
This is Greg, and you're listening to
The City of Savages Podcast,
where we talk about getting after your dreams after work.
What are you doing from 5 to 9? Let's go.
Let's get it.
And to you like me, when you are up night, or you're crying at night because you can't go to sleep because your brain is on 30 different things, then you don't need to be doing it.
All right, we started up again.
Okay. So, you know, the key point is I don't mind people asking me anything. I want you to ask me anything and everything. The key point is ask, because then that way I can, let me see if I wipe this off. Make sure that. So I'm going to show you sales. This is from payments made, contracts sold, stuff out the door. So this was last month. I don't know if y'all can see that.
Yeah.
That's last month, right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna show you how much I made in 12 days. Okay. And then I want the key point I want you to look at is, well, let me go back to the last month. Average sale right there. What's that? 115?
Yeah.
Equals this.
Do 50 sales.
50 sales. I'm going to show y'all how much I'm at right now for February.
Wow.
Look at the average.
Yeah. Wow. You're going up.
So that's why I was saying you're $125 away from your next jump. But then This is just talking about me, because in my business, $125 50 times over is a good month.
Yeah.
But guess what? And I want to clarify that too. That doesn't mean I did 50 sessions in 1 month. That's not what that means.
Right.
That means that I found a way to make sure that every person, after they pay their session fee, does $125 more.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
And it is that easy. Whether it be I'll make it simple, because I'm just that my brain, I stay up at night and I think, and I'm up. I'm one of those people that go to sleep at 7 o'clock and wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning and then be up to 6 o'clock. Between 2 and 6, yeah. I have my weirdest ideas, right? So you can have a pressure washing business, right? Say I'm gonna charge you $200 a month to come out and pressure wash every siding, concrete, whatever you got, $200, right?
Yeah.
But if I pull up in my van, but that's also using your own water. So you're kind of subsidizing that, because I'm pulling up everything and using your own, maybe my own truck, whatever. Mm. But what if I say to you, okay, here's what I'm doing for you. You're already giving me $200 to your own house. You're using your own water. I'll give you a discount price and charge you $130 to pressure wash all your cars and dry them down.
Yeah. That's smart.
What do you? What, I mean, you're only paying me $200 for the month. I pay you me another $130, and I get my cars done too. And then on top of that, though, you got a tank in the back of your truck. You can go ahead. That's not big enough to do a whole house, but big enough to do my cars.
Yeah.
So, if you're doing 200, let's say you got 12 houses, that's $2,400. $130. The average house has two cars. Times that by 20, that's $5,200 plus the original amount that you just made in 1 month. All by saying, I'm going to give you and they don't even know what the discount is.
Right, exactly.
I never told you what the original price was.
You just doubled your income.
But in your mind, you heard, I paid this man $200. He's going to give me a discount of $130. So in your mind, you're saving $70 when really you're just getting added $130.
Right. You know, I can't remember who said it, but like, you know, somebody, I think I heard on the internet or something, but saying that once somebody pays you, they feel more comfortable paying you again. Really? So it's, you know, if they already paying you money, they're going to feel more comfortable to pay you again. So if you give them a good service, hey, hit them with another one. Like, all right, what else can I do for you? Boom. I can do this for you.
I can give y'all a $2,000 sale. And this is, again, based on me and how I do my boudoir shoots. Mm-hmm. And hope people are going to look at this and be like, y'all, I'm going to book this guy. They ain't going to pay shit. But so my boudoir shoots are $500. They start at $500. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what we do it in here, and I flip it. I put up the headboard, hang up the pictures, and do the couches, and flip the whole thing around like I normally do.
Yeah.
Cool. That only comes with 30 photos. I'm going to show you 80.
Okay.
So now that leaves us with 50 that are potential that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
I charge an additional $20. For each photo you select. Nine times out of 10, these women are going to see their own photo and they're going to choose, in most cases, all 50. That's $1,000. So now I'm at $1,500. You pay me $500, you paid $1,000 for your other photos to get edited, retouched, and all that stuff. And then I come in and say, I have a drawer here full of albums. And I say, you know what? Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about having this album in your hand to have on hand to look at these photos and not just digitally on your phone?
Mm.
It's $600 more dollars right here. $600 more dollars is right here. $600 more dollars is right here. In here. How would you feel?
That's dope, bro.
Yeah.
So the reason why I say $600 is because it cost me $100 to order the album, so now I'm at $2,000.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So that's how simple it is to get additional income, like on top of what you do.
Yeah.
They don't. That's... The person has already, like Cam said, they already spent $500 with you.
Yeah.
Shit. What's another $5 to $1,000?
Yeah.
What's another $600 for an album? That's my album. Everybody wants to be on the magazine. Everybody wants to be on this. They want to be on that.
Right.
You know, what else is to pay this for my own personal that I get?
Bruh, that is a fucking bar. That's good stuff right there. That's good shit.
Like, I can't make this stuff up. Like,
yeah.
This is how on the back end I'm able to save and do whatever I want to do with this extra money. Because for me, I'm only expecting me and the throttle $500.
Yeah.
That's $1,500. That's rainy day.
It's ice on the cake.
Slow months for photography or after or in between July and mid August, unless you're good at weddings and get a bunch of like travel weddings or you're by beaches and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
That's a slow time. Then after Thanksgiving until now, going into February for Valentine's Day. It's slow.
Mm-hmm.
You might make your average. You might make enough to pay your bills. You might make enough to, okay, we're in another fiscal year. Let me go and use my credit cards and all this stuff so that way it don't affect my taxes and all this stuff. But what if you can save that for a real rainy day and just the extra that you sell, the extra that you do, you just put to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as simple as, again, they already spent the money.
Yeah.
All they do is just show them the advantages.
Mm-hmm.
Show them this is what it is. The worst they can do is say no, and then you just scale back a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it the $20 per photo? Let's do 15. How's that sound? 15. Okay. Oh, lowest I can do is 10. 10? That sounds great. Well, guess what? You still can get the album. The album is now $800. Oh, 800 don't work. Cool. We can do 600. But you see what I mean?
I think on the fly, just like that.
If I'm gonna lose over here, I'm gonna put it over here.
Yeah,
still don't want to put it right there. But then all that's extra. I'm only guaranteed to lead to whatever you do. You only should be guaranteeing yourself to live off of whatever your rate is.
Right.
You shouldn't be expecting to do those sales. I had a guy that came up to me asked me about the sales process and all the stuff that I use. And he was like, you know, yeah, I got a shoot lined up. It's $1,200. I was like, you charging $1,200? He was like, no, you know, I'm going to do the shoot, and I know they're going to buy this under this. And I'm like, you know this? Like, how do you know this? Like, how are you just so sure that they are?
Right, right.
And by the time he walked away, he was like, I'm actually losing money. I'm like, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that money they paid you already spent. And now you hoping that they buy something. So now you seem angry and over anxious.
Yeah.
I'm real relaxed.
Yeah.
We turn on, look, we get in here, we turn on a Keurig or whatever the fuck is.
this must be a crazy internet night tonight.
I don't know what y'all talking about. I'm good over here.
Yeah.
Hey man.
Hey, Greg, you
gotta holler at the U-verse over here. Man.
I know, Greg, you froze up like right at the beginning for a little second. Then you came back.
I don't want to hear it, man. I'm feeling myself right now, man. But no, we were just telling, just basically discussing, man, why, about the gems that you've been dropping, not only as far as your business is concerned, man, and about photography, but the money management aspect of it and how you can, you know, just continue to capitalize and just,
yeah,
you know, really, really monetize what you're doing and capitalize on certain things, making mm-hmm. it a win-win for both you and your clients. And just, you know, Rico, seriously, hella gems tonight, bro. And a lot of information just around, you know, how you can better set up your business and go, just being a go-getter and being, you know, ambitious with what you're doing and passionate into it. You know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, all these different attributes, man, that is, you know, necessary if you are, you know, into your entrepreneurship, is important. But as far as photography goes, is there, what would you say maybe is the most important thing that you've learned as far as photography, or what would be like your most important lesson as far as photography that you've learned so far?
There's so many. But I would say the most important part is you are not your audience. Mm. So many times when starting out this photography thing, I thought I had to be the one that shot the prettiest person. I had to be the one that shot this what I thought would attract people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. When all I had to do was just shoot people.
Yeah.
And find that beauty in a person that makes them just make them shine.
Right.
And that would be my business advice, because you're going to get tempted, especially if you're new, you're going to get tempted to find the model with 350,000 followers.
Right.
You're going to be able to, you're going to be tempted to find Miss Beautiful Blue Eyes.
Right.
But those are not going to be the people that you shoot every day.
Right.
Those are going to be one-offs. Right. Those are going to happen. Right. Don't get me wrong. Those are going to happen. But that's not going to be everybody.
Right.
You have to be able to say, you have to really be able to say, okay, let me scale back, look at what's in front of me, mm-hmm. and make beauty out of it.
Yeah,
I like that. That's dope.
That's good.
And take that biasness out of it to where you actually capture what's in front of you, not just take a photo and hope that it looks good.
Yeah.
You know, and it's humbling, because the more I focused on people and got out of my own head of, I need to have these images, because I'll tell you one thing right now. I've shot with several people that have all these Instagram followers, that have all these followers, and it don't turn to not a damn dollar in my pocket.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I've shot with the person, they got an Instagram, they got 60 followers on it, and they follow 120. We done seen them. They got they follow more people than follow them.
Yeah.
And turn around and send me 10 clients.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
So when you transition into that and you really start seeing the what's in front of you and treating that as the just beauty and a whole natural essence, it creates opportunity for you.
Hey man, yeah.
Don't get hung up on that beauty piece. It sounds nice. I'm telling you, it will never trend. It'll give you more headaches. Your clientele will not rise. Your skill set will not rise.
Yeah. I mean, plus beauty is subjective, right? So, I mean, there's, you know, so, you know, what you're thinking about as beauty, everybody might not see it that way. Or, you know, what you might look at somebody and initially and be like, you know, they not think that they're like the most gorgeous person. But like you said, if you can see beauty in it, you can make those pictures dope. And then when somebody else look at it, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, you know, those pictures are dope, but she's beautiful or whatever. Or he's, you know, he's handsome or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, I mean, you just never know. Like you said, you're not your audience and you don't know how they're going to view that person, how they're going to view the model. Right. So you just got to do your thing.
Taking the unbiasedness out of it, to your point, you know what I mean? And just looking at each and every person as an opportunity, you know, equally, you know what I'm saying? Like equal opportunity, no matter who it is. I think that's the biggest key.
I mean, you can sit here and you can say, I'm gonna focus on models, but models don't like to pay. Mm-hmm. They're good. They're good to get the content, but if you want to have a longevity in this career, you have to be able to understand you need them, but that ain't your focus.
Yeah.
I have, and for any person that just listened to this and they had a photographer say they don't do free work, they full of shit. you can tell them I said they full of shit. You can tell them to call me personally and I'll tell them to their ear that they're full of shit.
Yeah, because of course.
Everybody has a slow season. But also, everybody wants to experiment with something that regular people do not want to experiment with. Mm. And I mean this respectfully when I say regular, because these are going to be your clientele that come in for the birthday shoots.
Right.
Yeah.
That come in for the business attire. Mm. But then you have the ones that your muses that are your models. You don't charge them, but they down for whatever.
Right. Yeah.
They down to go out and shoot in the rain. They good to stand in front of you and pose with different music playing so that way you can invoke emotion and figure out how do you do that with somebody else. And guess what? Again, they don't pay.
Yeah.
You don't charge them.
Yeah.
And so again, for people that sit out here and be like, well, you know, I'm always getting paid. Man, shut the hell up. You're lying. You're a liar.
Yeah.
Because you know how I know? Because I can click that same model's page and see her on 8 different people other pages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know they ain't like, paying.
And that's another thing about the photography community. You got to stop all this lying. Like, and that's why I have some close associates, but I have a lot more people that don't like me. Mm. Because I'm going to tell clients the truth. Yeah, I shot them for free. You want to know why? Because I wouldn't be able to do this light setup where it looks like a light is just leaking through a doorway and it's black on both sides. If I just set up here and tried it with you, did you want to stay in here for 45 minutes to an hour while I figure out how to set this up?
No. Right. Yeah.
But they will because they want the free product and the free service, and they want to be the first one to say, he shot with me like this.
Yeah.
And again, you can go on my Instagram and the shoot I'm talking about is I did it. Her name is Nikki. And it was the one she has on the hat and the long black jacket. And it's one light beam coming through and it's black on both sides. And it looks like a door open. It's like the old cinematic in the movie, like the door.
Yeah,
open.
Yeah.
It took me the longest to figure out how to get this down because I had the light in. I knew what I needed to get it shadowed out. But to get it crisp like that with the lights, took some extra stuff I had to do on the flash. You know, that I didn't know that I needed to do. Now, would I stand there and do that with a paying client? No, because they on a time scale. They ready to get in and get out.
Yep.
Their patience ain't there. Right. But with a model, they understand that, okay, I'm going to get this shot so I can be a little patient. I can wait 30, 45 minutes for this setup. I can wait until they figure it out because I'm going to be the first one to say, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, that's dope. That's good stuff, man. But hey, we're gonna go ahead and move into the next segment. So Rico, this next segment, we like to ask, we call it the Fab Five, and we like to ask all of our guests, all of our savages that come on the show, five just fun questions, and a lot of them are the same. We change them, we might change up a little bit from week to week, but for the most part, they're the same questions. So
yeah, buddy.
Yeah, so you know, hey, like I said, just fun questions, man. We're gonna pop it off, get right into it. First question. You know, I know that we talked at the beginning about your poetry and you doing that thing. Who is a poet that most inspires you, or the poem that most inspires you?
Man, this is gonna sound terrible. Well, what if I say I really didn't have one?
Really?
I have come across some dope poets. I'm just making sure this. Can y'all still see me?
No.
No.
All right. Can y'all see me now?
Yep.
All right, cool. You know, I have come across some dope poets in my time. But, you know, none have really made me sit back and say, damn, like, because I'd be so scared of biting and copying.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, man, that sounded dope when they said it, but at the same time, I'd be like, nah, that ain't, I can hear where they're going, but I want to hear something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if I had to say a favorite poem, there's this guy here in Charlotte, his name is a poet named Superman. Great guy. You literally have to say it like that. His opening line is, my name is a poet named Superman. Yes, you got to say the whole thing like a pig named Sitback. And he has a poem entitled Jeremiah 29:11, and it's called The Purpose. Mm. And the reason why I would say that's, if I had to say my favorite poem by anybody, is because although I've been around a lot of religious people, I'm not religious.
Mm.
Because growing up, my dad was Islamic and my mom was Baptist. Mm. So I got a crazy feel of both sides of the world. Yeah. I got this really like passionate about human life and what's gonna happen after you die, and how do you live with humility. And then I got my dad's side, which was fuck all that. If it's wrong, you the head of the household, you make it right, you do this. It's like it's very like this. Right. And so but when I hear this poem, he touches on a lot of things in my life that matter. From do I work until I'm 55 to retire, get to go to heaven, and you get to do the false with Jesus, that with angels, and then get to sit on heaven on a cloud on scholarship because you retired at 55 with nothing more to show to your life but kids and a family. Like that shit kind of, it resonated because it's like, okay, what we talked about earlier. If we knew early on in our life, we knew, you know, then and anybody like that, like, we could have avoided this and been stronger businessmen now.
Yeah.
You know, so that way when I get older in age, you know, like, so we got time. Like, I get it. You know, we're in our 30s, but
I was about to say, y'all, don't act like we old out here. Like, we're older, but, you know.
Right.
Older, but not old.
Right, but you know, at the same time, if I had more time to grow and enjoy those luxuries, I would have.
That's good.
Yeah.
So he touches on a lot of that in that mm-hmm. poem. That even though, you know, I'm not as religious as I used or have ever been, I cry when I hear this poem. Because it's something to me that says that no matter what happens, there's a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, right. he talks about another line in that poem. He's like, he says, I look to the sky and yell to the heavens, no, I don't need you right now. I got this. And then God looked down and said to me, you would think I would know the plans for you, because why I etched them in blood myself. Like that, mm-hmm. that part of the poem. Like every time, like even right now, I get chills thinking about it, because it's like, regardless of how religious or spiritual I am, it's good to know that no matter what I've done throughout my years of being this reckless individual, being this getting drunk and partying and all the random sexcapades to the couple of nights in jail for my misactions. There's always a purpose. You never forget that there's a purpose. There's a purpose for you. There's a purpose for everybody you come in contact with. I mean, hell, I came down there and met y'all and didn't even go to the school that I met y'all at. And here we are, almost 10 years plus later, or 19 years.
It's probably
at least 10. Oh, yeah, it's been at least 10. At least 10.
Yeah, like, you know, later to where we're still supporting each other and know each other, and although lives are transitioned to different things, there's still a purpose. Right.
Yeah.
You never know. There's something that could be inspired by everything that y'all are doing, even with tonight being on with y'all. There's a purpose for it.
Yeah.
And even if we don't know it, there's a purpose.
Yeah.
So that poem, I would say it is my favorite, and it's by a guy here. And just, man, I wish I got it. Next time he does a release therapy open mic on Wednesdays at Red 28. And Red 28 just opened up the one on East Boulevard, and they're supposed to start doing them back there. And I got to get y'all there so y'all can, and I'm going to request that he does it, that poem so y'all can hear it. It just has this this energy about it that's just like, like, for me, like I said, for me, it just moves you.
If you can find him, find his page, or find that poem, man, I would love to read it to have him deliver it, you know, so... definitely. And you know, I'm here. So we live in the same city, Rico. So, you know, any opportunity where you know he's gonna be at, if you can give me the plans ahead of time, man, I'm there. But moving on to the next question. What would you say is your favorite book?
Oh man, my favorite book is The Big Bad Wolf by James Patterson.
Okay.
My favorite book. I love it because I actually read it while I was in the hospital. I had broke my hand and some other stuff came up while I was in the hospital. And I just started, and I'm not much of a reader, but something about this book just captivated me because it's crazy how it used the whole human trafficking like aspect to create the storyline. Mm-hmm. But then for me, being somebody at the time that worked in technology and sales and, you know, all this stuff, like how it infused that in with a young girl that was able to get on the dark web and find her way into a gang of people. And they call themselves like whimsical characters. Like there was the three pigs, the big bad wolf, the grandma, you know, all these names in these books, and they put it together and then you have this intricate story of just her getting caught and her having to escape without using technology, without knowing any names, when she already knew everybody's names. Oh man, James Patterson is a bad man for that book.
That sounds very interesting, man. I'm gonna have to check that one out. I'm gonna look that one
up. Oh yeah, man. It's called The Big Bad Wolf by James Patterson.
Okay, bet. Yeah, I'm gonna look that one up. All right, question number three. What was the last song you listened to?
I'll be having my ratchet moments nowadays.
Yeah. Tell us the truth now.
Man, I listened to Moneybagg Yo today. Was it last song on the way back? But I went and ate at Crafty Crab.
Okay.
So I was feeling myself on the way back. and I was listening, Got Time Today. And it's something about it. I was just ratchet just in the car, the same. It is rare I get like that anymore. I usually chill and listen to like stuff like Masego and stuff like that in the car. I got in the car this evening on the way home, and I was like, yo, I'm about to turn that
all right,
back.
All right, so check this out. I don't mean to interrupt, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a light skin thing. I don't like to talk about, you know, dark skin and light skin. I hate the colorism conversation in our community, but it might apply because literally the very last song I just listened to, I don't know if y'all can see it, is Moneybagg.
That's funny.
Getting out the shower. That was the very last song. And I said that because the wife's favorite food is crab legs. Bro, we had Crafty Crab tonight. Straight up. I cannot lie to you. I cannot lie to you, dog.
Wow.
She went earlier and got Crafty Crab, the exact same restaurant, dog. Hey, Cam.
Yo,
no lie.
What are the odds,
when you come up, you got to go to Crafty Crab. And I'm going to tell you why. The seasonings that they put on Crafty Crab is amazing. Like, you know, it's you know, you go to some restaurants, man, and you know, they might do a little too much or not enough.
Yeah.
It's like perfect. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As far as Crafty Crab.
Okay.
Yeah.
And man, it's
I'm gonna check that out when I go there.
I did the Cajun fire.
I'm gonna check that out when I go out there. Later,
you have to, because
that's wild.
The coincidence of that is insane. So,
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
But
hey, I tell you, I be throwing up game signs, kicking over stuff. Yo, like bring it in. But now this crab, though, I can't wait to just finish this off. Mm. I was like, y'all gotta get home.
All right, so real quick, keep moving through. Question number four. Tell us something random about yourself that most people wouldn't know.
So my lifestyle, here it comes, the moment y'all been waiting for.
Uh-oh.
So by lifestyle, I am what they call a daddy dominant. So that is in the BDSM community. So, So a lot of people, I hate this reference because, you know, it's one of those things like people kind of like, it's far fetched from what it really is.
I was gonna say, like, you Christian Grey or what? Like,
so in a sense. So in a sense, because, so my kinks and bonded in lifestyle or bondage, sensory deprivation. It's not strangulation, but it's close enough. Spanking, squirting. Those are all my kinks. Those are my five kinks. And pretty much, like, people don't realize that about me. So I know y'all see me post myself in a shirt. It says somebody's daddy.
Yeah.
On the shirt. People assume that means my kids.
Right.
It has nothing to do with my kids at all. You know, I am I guess technical term, I am a polygamist. So I'm used to having multiple partners. More so recently, I was in a relationship where it was me. They were two women, they were together, and then they found me, and then it became a thing. You know, the people don't guess about me because although I am this extroverted person, and I don't mind who I talk to, what I say, if I rub you the wrong way, you know, get over it. You know, your tears are not my fucking problem. Shouldn't be sensitive. but there's a side of me too where I'm also really like people don't they see what I do, but they still don't know how to. Yeah, like, yeah, no, like people didn't know I had a daughter until recently, and my daughter will be one in March. Like, I play a fine line of keeping things private and what I want to do public.
Yeah.
But this side of me is definitely, unless you come to the sex shows or the erotic poetry shows, it comes out, but people think it's just a part of the show. They still don't realize that at the end of the day, this is it's legit real. How
this
I live
is you.
My life.
This is you, right?
You know, okay. Yeah. It's, you know, we can take a journey down the lane and down this hallway. I got enough battery. Yeah, we got 16%. So,
I can only imagine what we're about to see right now.
So, you know, can you flip this around? Yeah. So, you know, this is one side of my bed. So, if you're lucky enough, you can. You can get strapped in if you want to.
Wow. Hey, y'all, this is a City of Savages exclusive. I just want y'all to know.
Right.
And then super also exclusive. Then you can also come in here. Oh, let's go and turn this on. And you can where's that? As you see it, because you know you have kids, you gotta keep stuff.
tucked away.
Yeah.
You can also come in here as well, and then you can learn about how we use all of this stuff.
Oh, wow.
You can get a handcuff. This is my favorite one. So this one allows you to put their legs in a restraint and hold their legs back behind their head. You can get spanked. You can get handcuffs. You can get choked and put on a leash, and I walk you around the house.
Hey, when you dumped that out just now, that joint looked like y'all remember seeing Dodgeball when they got the uniforms mixed up?
Oh,
you can get tied.
Hey, for real. Hey, that's such a great comparison. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You can get tied a rope.
Dodgeball uniform.
You can get flogged out. But there's a couple of books, my dog got a whole
spank.
Hey, but
pack,
you know what?
Bro.
That's no, it's it, you know, I salute you for the transparency, and it's plenty of women out here, I'm sure. I mean, it's plenty of women out here that are into that sort of thing. You know what I mean? It's way more people that are into that, you know, and
I'm sure more than we know.
Exactly.
More than we would expect.
More than we know.
The thing about it is that because a lot of people are so into the theatrics of it, mm-hmm. they don't respect the art of it.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a saying in our community where we say consent is sexy. If you don't give me consent to do it, the yes, I can, the no, I can't, it don't happen.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the part where people miss. So they'll come to even the sex shows, they'll come to the erotic poetry, and they'll see us on stage spanking people, doing things, lifting them up, doing forced orgasm demos, things like that. And they don't realize that we've already had a conversation. Okay. We've already had a conversation of, hey, this is me, this is who I am. I promise I'm still gonna protect you.
Yeah.
And some more stuff within that conversation. The key point is, do I have your permission in front of everybody out here to do what I'm about to do?
Yeah.
Will you stop me? And if they say yes and say no, we good.
Yeah.
But in a private sense, you know, there is there's also a liability of consent that you have to take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that if y'all got safety words, whatever, you already know your partner's hard yeses and hard yeses, soft no's, hard no's. You know, you already know these things. You have to be prepared to understand what that means. So there's a place you can take and like you said, women are always into this, but they never prepare for it.
Mm.
There's a place where you can take your partner using some of this stuff. Because I'll use one of my kinks as an example. Bondage. I love whenever I'm able to restrain somebody to the bed, and then tell them to try to kiss me.
Mm.
You can't sit up. You can't do this. You can't do that. But their passion. But so how it starts out, I restrain them to the bed. I'll run a vibrator up their body. I'll tickle their toes, and then I'll kiss them. I will kiss them like they're the last woman on earth. And then I stop and I separate just enough to where there's a space between me and them. And I'll say, kiss me. They'll lean up and I'll move back.
Mm.
But because their arms are bound, their legs, man, they can't do it. So now she's so turned on. She's already turned on because I've already kissed her. Mm-hmm. She got this vibrating sensation on her body. And she want to kiss me. And she's so turned on, she's like, I'm going to kiss this man. This man, I want to kiss him. I will kiss him. And she's going to try. She can't do nothing. And I'm me. I'm just kissing. Can I just keep saying something again? The point where you're fucking with their mind so bad that they can't even realize that they can't move.
Mm.
So then all that's left to do is, hey, you can't kiss me, but can I fuck you? And she'll say yes. And you'll take one leg off and then maneuver her however you can maneuver her for whatever girth or length you got.
Bro, I don't even know what I don't even know what she wants. Like, Like, what's like?
Oh man!
And then you go in, and you,
Rico, wow, boy.
And you go in, and then you fuck her like she's a, like just the dirtiest person you ever met, right? And but all the whole time, you still telling her to kiss you, kiss you, kiss me, fuck, kiss me. I know you can do better. Kiss me. And she's still trying, but she's still getting dick. So she's coming, and she's like, I want to kiss this man. And then what you do is you unslip her wrist so she can grab you and let her kiss you. I promise you, she'll nut so hard she pass out. Because you
where's my notebook?
Exactly. I was like, I need to take some more notes, man. You opening Pandora's box out here.
I know, right? Facts.
Because
facts.
You because it's all about it's all about, like I said, women are into this. Women like to be mind fucked. They love to not have control, but then they love to be unrestrained to where they can lose control and go to a place in their mind that they didn't even know they could go. So that buildup happens, and then you just embrace that, give her mind-blowing sex. But the key part of this is a thing we call aftercare. You don't just lay her down and let her go to sleep. You hold her. You caress her. You let her know everything is okay. Baby, I'm here. I'm not going nowhere. My arms are wrapped around you. You don't have to worry about a damn thing because I'm right here. Do you want me to go get you some water? Do you want me to do this? You want me to do that?
Man. You just about killed her, so I hope that you hold her close.
So, you know, but again, you're still playing.
I mean, this was a near-death experience. If you don't hold her tight, bro. I don't know what you want me to say here, but man.
But you still have that moment of grace, because as men, we're supposed to protect you. But protection isn't just physical. I gotta protect you mentally and emotionally. So now that you've had this out-of-body experience, you know that you can legit come back to me and still be here and be a person. I'm not judging you. If you want to lay him go to sleep, I'm still gonna be correcting your hair. Like that's what people don't know about me. There's a level of play that happens to me in the bedroom.
But like I said,
I offer classes for that too. So if anybody ever learned something, let me know.
This guy.
Man, you taught a whole class just now. I don't even know if you know it.
I know, right? That was 101 right there. Yeah, that was 101, lesson one.
And you can do those things with you. And honestly, if you take away the bed restraints, just grab your woman by her wrist and put them down and tell her to do something simple. Like, I love the kiss me joint because it's an easier focus to where we can lock eyes and I can still move and maneuver, but I can still be there and you can still be putting that force on her to feel it in your hand. The hands are powerful. I mean, when I learned what these hands can do, the hands are powerful. And you can just pin her down by her wrist and just tell her to kiss her, and she can't. And then she feel your dick going against her like this, and you ain't even inside her. Hey, boy, hold on. Let me. Y'all on my phone. I need to send a message.
Hold on.
Man, let me tell you.
Hey, Cam.
Where's my pen?
Hey, Cam.
Let me write this down.
Hey, I haven't been keeping count, but I'm pretty sure that's the second mimosa he done finished. So at least
two.
That brunch mimosa done kicked in, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, late night brunch.
Now I'm telling you, man, this lifestyle has really opened my eyes and shown me a part of society and culture that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
There are people around, like when you interact with swingers, they're always interested. Because you got your cockholes that love to watch their wife get fucked by somebody else. You got your women that love to do the opposite, that just love to watch their husband get it in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the ones they like, let's do it together.
Yeah.
And then you got, then there's this whole society out there. And they be having parties right here in Charlotte in plain day, and don't nobody even notice it.
Oh, I believe it.
We're going to have to bring you back on. We're going to have to do a We gotta do a sex episode
part two.
A deeper dive. We're gonna have to bring in a woman and bring you back, and we're gonna do a sex episode.
Exactly. Let's do that. That'll be dope. I'm so interested. I'm intrigued as a motherfucker right now.
I can bring you in a fem dom or a fem sub or whatever you want.
We're gonna talk about
bring in whoever you want to bring in, and we're gonna do this show. We're gonna wrap it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a third mimosa now. Three in. Nah, I gotta get me another drink.
I'm gonna be up. I gotta tell you, I already know what type of night it's gonna be for me. I'm gonna be up.
Well, hey man, question five, final question for the photographers here. Nikon or Canon?
Oh, definitely Canon. Now, if you had said Canon or Sony, that'd have been Nikon is still too far. So they made some great adjustment with their Z6 and Z5, Z6 mirrorless cameras. They made some great adjustments, but they still missed a key point on their sensor sizes. So because the biggest thing between a DSLR camera like the 5D Mark III, I think the D3800 or whatever their D model was, is there's a mirror in front of the sensor. So it's like this. So this is what records your image. There's a mirror that kind of reflects it in like the pupil and it staples it in there.
Okay.
When they came out with the Z5 for Nikon, it had the same sensor size as their DSLR model. Meaning the same three, or I think it might have been, excuse me if the numbers are wrong, but the same 400,000 plus pixels were the same in their old cameras, the new one. Okay. The only thing you got was that it was mirrorless, lightweight, water resistant, or water sealed, and the lenses were better. Canon did was their sensor change, because Canon sensors are based off of their processor. The DG5-6 processors is what processes their images, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you look at my camera, which, and this also going to the benefit of where you upgrade and when you do it, I use an EOS R. It has a slightly bigger sensor than their 5D Mark IV, which was their last DSLR. However, the actual resolution is higher at 30 versus 27. So in a sense, I get a little bit better of a quality and low light performance on my mirrorless, which at the end of the day makes a difference.
Okay.
Especially for studio photographers, because whenever you shoot in a studio, you take a picture to see the ambient light, because you want it to be pitch black in your photo before you introduce the flash.
Okay.
Issue with the mirrorless is that it's so sensitive that you don't have to have a high f-stop for it to be pitch black.
Okay.
So my normal settings on my 5D, my 5D 3 would have been 1/160th of a second, f/8, 100. That's a black frame. In theory, because it's sensitive, you would do 1/160th, f/13, 100 on the mirrorless. That's wrong. You actually would do 1/200th of a second, 7.1 on the aperture, and 100, and it's pitch black.
Okay.
Now, this, of course, changes when you add flash and all that fun stuff. But the reason why I say if you were to compare Canon to Sony is because Sony is in the front. I would have said Sony, and I don't even use Sony.
Okay.
The way their 4K model, their 45 to 60 megapixel cameras, I think they got an 8K camera, the A1 or something that just came out not even a month ago. They had the eye detection, facial tracking, all that stuff. They had that 4 years ago when Canon was just figuring out how the fuck do we get mirrors.
Dang.
You find a preview.
Interesting.
Sony already had that. Canon just did a software update that allows their cameras to do it. They still at least 4 years behind the curve of Sony.
Wow.
So, but on a artistic side, I'll always go with Canon because the color output from Canon is always a lot more in depth than Sony.
Okay.
Okay.
Sony gives you that high-end wedding photographer portrait, light, airy, everything is whimsical feel with their colors. Canon, it gives you the nigga colors. if you orange, you orange. If you red, you red. Mm. If you yellow, you yellow. And if you in between, it mashes together and it's really deep in that color.
Okay.
So you would say...
So that's where they would...
You would say, as far as like innovation goes, Sony's kind of been leading for the past few years.
Oh. So Sony's smoking people so bad, I see why people be paying $8,000 for their camera.
That's crazy. Like, $8,000 for a camera?
I would switch my whole ecosystem to Sony. Mm. But I was like, man...
8,000? That's a 2001 Honda.
Listen, go look it up. The A1.
Shit, that's 2015 Honda.
AR, AR4. I think the AR4 was like 5,000, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. AR4, they got several different ones, and all of them are tailored. So you remember the red cameras? All these film producers was you got to get a red camera. Because this is the dopest cinematic camera you can get, right?
Okay.
Sony cameras. So a red camera is $30,000.
$30,000?
It's a digital format camera that shoots, like, the sensor on it is so amazing. Like, you can film, they film movies on this.
Okay.
They compared it. There's a video from a guy called Jared Fronos on YouTube where he compares an AR-7 III Sony that's like $5,000 at the time to a red camera, and they both use a 35mm cinema camera. You can't tell the difference. Mm. So Sony has this thing. It's just that Sony, it's the price point. I can't even hold you up. It's the price point. Now, if I had it, I wouldn't care. I'm gonna go Sony all day long, but they price ones are so just over here.
Yeah,
it's almost like what cars do sometimes. We all know in our heart of hearts that what's two comparable cars that a Lincoln Navigator ain't nothing but a fucking Ford Expedition. Just the name of the badge is different.
Yeah. Facts.
Sony is the exact same shit. Mm. They have so many different camera models that they have a camera that's literally the Lincoln Navigator tailored to people that love this Lincoln, the airbags that's gonna go out on you in 6 years and have you riding like this down the street. But then you have people that just like, they like Fords, they like American builds. They're like solid builds, reliability. Does a little bit of everything, but does a little bit of nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so they have those same models just like that. Like, the difference is that do I want a little bit of everything and a little bit of nothing for this $4,500, $5,000 price tag? Or do I want that regulator that's gonna keep me coasting for a little bit till the next best thing come out and I'm just coasting down the road at a steady uphill level for $7,000-$8,000.
Gotcha.
Mm. Yeah,
that's the thing with Sony. Now Canon stays in line. Canon be like some shit on Walmart. The new Samsung TV come out of Walmart. The old one go down $200-$400. Mm. Canon the same way.
Okay.
The EOS R5 and 6 came out. The EOS RP and R dropped down so low that you can get a mirrorless RP for less than $1,000. Sometimes less than $800 if it's used.
Yeah. Okay.
Again, depending on your reasons, is what you pick.
Yeah,
a lot of Nikon users are older photographers, and they're used to. They came from film. They go over to them. The sound, the feel, that rubber build is what attracts them.
Okay.
The new innovators, the film top, the videographers like the Sony camera because eye detection, the sensitivity to be able to shoot at night, the ability that they have such a great, their lens range is great.
Okay.
They love that range.
Yeah.
Me, the portrait photographer, the beauty photographer, unless you want to do a high-end Hasselblad, you go with a Canon. because you know that the textures and skin tone is what matters to you.
Yeah.
Not the can I shoot outside at midnight with no flash.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you know, in order of rank, just being if I compared the big three, you know, Sony would definitely be number one off of based just off innovation alone, then Canon, then Nikon. And that's me being honest.
Word. Hey man. Appreciate you. You dropped a lot of info, man. A lot of good shit. And I mean, I think, you know, I can't wait to just listen back to this, man, because I know I'm going to catch a lot of stuff from it. And I know the listeners are going to catch a lot of stuff from it, man. So, hey, we appreciate your time, man.
Yeah, man. No doubt. No, thank y'all for having me on, man. And, you know, anytime, like, I'm always down. Again, if anybody, you know, has any questions, they want to reach out to me, feel free to do so. I'm not a hard person to find at all. You know, you can find me on Instagram at, you know, Studio 1216 LLC. You can go on my website, studio1216clt.com. My personal website is ricklandyoung.com. That's my personal branding website. You can go on there. Shoot me an email, you know, contact@eitherdomain.com comes to me. You know, I don't mind. And I'm glad, you know, y'all have a platform like this to do this on, because it's too many people out here shooting the shit for the showmanship. We need to be shooting the shit for the honesty, and so people know what they're really listening to, so they don't get caught up in these whimsical flight of fantasy of shit that ain't really happening.
Yeah, facts.
And, you know, I believe in the truth, and the truth will always lead you to more opportunity. Will it be easy? No, but if it's easy, why the fuck are you doing it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Until you like me, when you are up night or you're crying at night because you can't go to sleep because your brain is on 30 different things, then you don't need to be doing it.
Right. Mm.
That's what keeps me up at night. What can I do and how can I accomplish it?
Yeah.
You know, I post a lot of my thoughts online, and I get criticized that I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do it. Whatever. But I just believe that transparency also leads people to me.
Yeah.
Because they know what they get and they know what they're gonna understand.
Yeah.
The same way back in the day when, like I said it plenty of times, be at the bar. Look, you want this drink and some dick, or are you just good? Which one you want to
do? Hey, well man, seriously though. Much respect to you, Rico, for just being unapologetically you. I feel like it's not enough people out here that do that, man. They hide behind masks. Not literally, because we all hide behind masks these days, but metaphorically, people are hiding behind masks and not really, because they're afraid to really be themselves and be their true selves. Yeah. I literally just, you know, I believe that was like my gym for a joint podcast that we did recently, man. And I was just talking about, it's just important to be you unapologetically, and whoever don't like it, fuck them. But at least you are living in your freedom. You're living and you're doing you. And it's such a, you know, a freeing experience, you know what I'm saying? And you can live life, you know, in fulfillment, you know what I mean? Whenever you're not trying to please anybody, you're just doing you. So with everything that you dropped today, I just think that, you know, it you fully, you know, illustrated that, you know, with the interview tonight, man. And appreciate you being on, bro. Just all the info you dropped, not only with your business, but just different things and life, you know, just life altogether, bro. So as Cam said, we like to give flowers, man. So keep pressing on. We know it's not easy, especially within, you know, the pandemic. And we know that, just like you said, there's going to be, you know, slow season, different things of that sort. But even a slow season aside, man, just keep doing what you're doing, bro. Keep inspiring, keep writing these poems, keep, you know, keep shooting, and keep, you know, keep your business thriving, bro. Even, through the,
keep doing your thing.
Yeah, man. Through the tough times. And, you know, we're going to support you. We're going to make sure that we, we drop your handles. So thank you for that. That was actually something we was gonna ask. So thank you for letting everybody know, you know, how they can reach. How they can reach you, how they can contact you as far as your business. But yeah, I mean that's it, man. You you dropped all the gems, man. I ain't got nothing else. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, absolutely, man. Like Greg said, we're gonna drop all your contact stuff, your IG, your website, all that stuff in the show notes, so people know how to reach you. Hey, again, appreciate you, man. Hey, it was a pleasure. Great catching up with you.
Thanks.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate all you listeners out there. Hope you enjoyed this episode. You've listened to the City of Savages podcast. Peace.
Yep.